Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here on this Wednesday, a winky Wednesday. Nick Winkler, my guest, joining me shortly. We're going to dip deep into the mailbag. There's a bunch of questions that I didn't get to yesterday that I think we can tackle. Some people specifically tag Nick in these questions, so I don't want to answer those by myself. If they ask for Nick, got to give them some Nick. And you can subscribe to the show and all your favorite podcast apps. You can find, I don't even know what I'm supposed to say here. Oh, you know what you should be doing since people's habits are changing right now and everyone's at home? Use your home device. Let it know it can play Locked On 49ers podcast and tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. Locked On NFL, any show, whatever team they're a fan of, Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL, college sports, let them know their team is covered here on the network if they're looking for something to do, if they've run out of Tiger King episodes, which is actually the first question we're going to get to, but let's bring on our guest first.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nick, what's happening? Tiger King? Yeah? No?
Dude, Joe Exotic, what up? I'm only four episodes in, though, so no spoilers. Yeah, and we don't want to spoil it for anybody out there that may be listening as well, so this is all I have to say to you. If you like craziness, watch Tiger King.
If you like insane people and there's no protagonist in the show.
And it's like you think like, oh, this person's sane. And it's like, nope. They're crazier than the last person.
I hope I don't spoil this for you, but have you seen Marquise Goodwin yet?
Yes, he's in the first episode.
This is the first episode? Okay, I couldn't remember when he shows up.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, Marquise.
I remember seeing those photos of Marquise with the tiger. I thought he was in another country. I didn't know he was in Oklahoma taking those photos.
I think we even talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
I think I was like, yeah, and Marquise is out there playing with tigers and elephants and stuff. And no, he was in Oklahoma. Or maybe he was at the one in Myrtle Beach. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah, I'm not sure. I thought it was the Joe Exotic one because I thought there was a photo with him and them, but I can't remember.
No, I'm pretty sure. I think it was the other one because I think there was elephants and like he was playing in the water and stuff. And you know how that homeboy likes to ride his elephant in the water?
Yeah, more water at that park.
As like the boats are going by. Oh, man.
Oh, insane.
Watch
people,
that
man.
Show, guys. Yeah, just do it. Just give yourself a treat tonight. Turn on Tiger King and enjoy.
You'll feel better about yourself, really.
You will. You'll feel like you've accomplished so much in life by just being sane.
So that was the first question. And I hadn't talked about it on the show, and I was reminded of it by 49 Problems on Twitter. He said, are we just going to ignore the fact that Marquise Goodwin was on Tiger King? Hashtag I saw a tiger. Hashtag I saw Goodwin.
That's good. Yeah, we can't. We can't ignore that.
The Milli Vanilli music videos, too. Like, they're not even him singing. It's amazing. The characters, man. And so basically, the point is, if you know anybody who's into big cats or runs a big cat sanctuary, don't hang out with that person.
I was going to say,
get far away.
You actually think that they're sane? They're not.
Not many of those in California, so a lot of the listeners probably don't have that problem, but there's a lot of listeners around the world, too.
Oh, man. Yeah, and just a little spoiler, too. Well, this isn't really a spoiler. When you see, like, the wedding photos from Carol and her you know, current husband, and, like, he's on the leash, dressed up as a cat. I sent a picture of that to my wife. I'm like, that's our Halloween costume.
There it is.
I call Carol.
Yeah, exactly. Y'all, you could pull off the Carol. I see that.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Just put some flowers in my hair. I'm good to go.
Let's see here. Okay, this is from Charlie. He says, have you guys checked out the new All Madden team Sims on Bleacher Report?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either.
Oh,
but
okay, good. Moving on.
But I got another question that was about that. They're all-time teams, and I believe the all-time teams, now I can't find which tweet it was, but apparently the all-time teams have George Kittle and Vernon Davis at tight end snubbing Brent Jones. How do you feel about that?
I don't like it one bit. Uh-uh. Brent Jones is at the top of the list still, guys. Sorry.
And George Kittle's had a great couple of seasons.
Yeah, I would put George Kittle second. But, I mean, Brent Jones, he was the man for so many years. No, yeah. I read something about recency bias and all this, and I agree. Yeah. 100%.
Absolutely. I mean, in any, especially when it's like, when the poll is done on Twitter, there's so much recency bias just because there's younger people there, and, you know, you're going to vote for the person you saw, and if you missed. And it's really the only thing that happens with that, with the Jerry Rice and Randy Moss debate, which has been going around the last couple of weeks, too. And the only reason that there's even a debate is because the people that are voting for Randy Moss saw Seahawks version of Jerry Rice. They didn't see 1987 Jerry Rice catching 22 touchdowns in 12 games, like running away from people. They don't remember that Jerry Rice. And a lot of people with the LeBron Jordan. Jordan has more highlights. I think it's more well known where Jordan's athleticism was and stuff, but people don't remember Jordan dunking from the free throw line. And they're like, yeah, how could someone be better and bigger and badder than LeBron?
Yeah. He just was.
Recency bias, yeah.
All there is to it.
The OG.
Well, he was so head and shoulders above everybody else, too, back then.
So competition, who they're playing against.
Yeah.
And Rice was putting up numbers before, I mean, imagine this era, Jerry Rice, you know?
I know, right? If
there was a player that far and away better than the rest of his competition.
Yeah, it's like Christian McCaffrey right now. I was looking at fantasy numbers, just, you know, getting a little bored, thinking about who I'm going to take with my number one overall pick. And he was like 180 points ahead of second place, which is the difference between first and second, and then different decade in like 29th or something. It's ridiculous.
Oh, here's a good one. Okay, so yeah, Michael Thomas and the Saints, signed Emmanuel Sanders. By the way, Emmanuel Sanders saying that he did have some conversations with the 49ers. I don't know what number was thrown out there, but here's Emmanuel Sanders from The Rich Eisen Show.
That whole grace period, that 2 days, you know, the phones are definitely ringing. But, you know, I just didn't know where I wanted to go. And, you know, I spoke with the Bills for a little bit. And, you know, I told them, like, let me think about the idea and give me a night. And, like, 30 minutes later, the Stephon Diggs deal went through. And I was like, okay. And so then I kind of waited. You know, I was talking to Green Bay. I was talking to the Niners, and just trying to figure out, you know, what type of deal, what type of money are you talking about? And then the Saints called, and I was ecstatic about them calling, the opportunity to play with Drew Brees and everything. And, you know, the numbers made sense, and, you know, Drew has two more years left on his deal, and I signed a 2-year deal. And, you know, I'm just excited to be a New Orleans Saint. You know, I looked at the schedule, we got 11 or 12, you know, games inside in the dome, and you know, Michael Thomas being my counterpart, Drew Brees throwing the ball, Sean Payton calling the plays, and a wide open spread offense, just like I was with Payton in 2014. Like, you know, it just set a new fire under me. You know, this is my 11th season, and for me to be excited how I am in my 11th season, as if it's like my first season. You know, it's everything that you want.
So that is Emmanuel Sanders. He did say he had talked with the Niners, so there was some communication at some point. I don't know if it was too little, too late, or what the numbers were there. But what stood out to me when I heard him talk, and one of the craziest stats is the Michael Thomas stat, where he had 149 catches, a record number of receptions last year. And the next closest guy, the next closest receiver on his roster was 119 catches fewer. Ted Ginn. Ted Ginn was the second most in receptions at wide receiver. They had a couple of running backs in there between them, but I mean, that's crazy. He had 119 more catches. Nobody in the league had 119 catches, period. He had 119 more catches than the next closest wide receiver on his roster. So yeah, they needed Emmanuel Sanders, and it's a nice fit for Sanders. I just wonder if the Niners might have screwed the pooch a little bit on that one by not going a little bit harder.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Emmanuel Sanders and, you know, if the money's close, I think you go with the Saints, right? I mean, like he said, he gets to play 10 or 11 games, you know, inside, and where he can run a lot faster, and he's going to be going up against number two cornerbacks and not seeing double coverage, you know, which I'm sure he saw a lot of on the 49ers, you know, especially when he first came over. And the guy's going to see a lot of balls. He's going to see a lot of action. And yeah, there, you know, Michael Thomas got 149 catches. There's no way he's getting 149 again this year.
Right.
Not when you add a guy like Emmanuel Sanders to your football team. It's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah, going to a team that just throws the ball a little bit more, it's a nice fit. And I think the 49ers might have been able to bring him back if they got it done sooner. They didn't. He's with the Saints. It's a good fit for him. And I hope hope it works out, obviously, for the 49ers. Now you're looking at most likely the draft, I think. Niners are still in a weird spot with that wide receiver position. I think we'll have to talk more about that, and I'm sure we will. Leading up to the draft, let's break quickly and come back and hit some more mailbag.
Sounds good.
Did you see the video from John Lynch? And he's
his
home office and watching some tape.
I love how people were trying to like zoom in and look at his draft notes.
Oh, I was too. I was absolutely. I wish I had a bigger HD screen, or I could try to see if I could see that computer screen.
Zoom, enhance.
It's funny because you'll see teams have photos on their website of their draft room, you know, and they'll have like a photo of the GM or they'll saw it with the 49ers when they did the, what was their thing called when they had their own is it Brick by Brick? Is that what it's called? Where they,
Brick,
you know,
by Brick, yeah.
There'd be a video of the draft room, and they heavily post-edit it and blur it all out. Like, you cannot read what's on the draft board. And the Peter King article, I think, had a photo or two, and you know, it's all blurred out. Like, they didn't want that information getting out. And I don't think his computer screen was really blurred, but you couldn't really read it. And even teams are too secretive, first of all. They're way more secretive probably than they have to be. But, you know, it's whatever. It makes it more cloak and dagger. Makes it more fun, actually. But I wish I could see more glimpses of draft boards and things like that. But it's funny because it's like, ooh, he was watching this team and this player. And it's like, well, yeah, it's his job. He's going to watch every player.
Right. Well, if it was me, I'd be putting up fake stuff.
Yeah, that's what, and they do that. They absolutely do that. Some of the people they bring in, they want, then they'll bring in some other guys, or maybe they bring in a guy and they learn that they don't like him, and so it takes them off their board. So you can't always draw a correlation from interest and who they've talked to, because they try to do as much research about everybody as possible.
Yeah, and it's going to be a lot tougher right now without the visits and without a lot of the pro days and things like that. So this is going to be a very interesting draft. I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, it's going to be one of those where, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years down the line, people are looking back and they're like, man, you remember 2020 draft when, like, nobody could go and you know, scout guys? And, yeah, wow, I can't believe this guy got missed. And it's like, well, this is why he got missed, you know? Nobody got to meet with him.
Yeah, who's got the better connections? Who's got the inside dirt with the people that are on the coaching staff at universities? Right. Who trusts the film?
It's going to be a lot of trust.
Yeah, trust the film. Trust and be better at breaking down the film. The players that ran and ran well at the combine are going to have a huge advantage. When I did my mock draft on Monday's Locked On NFL show, I did the whole first round, my personal mock, and all the wide receivers and corners, especially cornerbacks, that were fit into the first round were the guys who ran and ran well at the combine. Mm-hmm. That's a huge advantage, especially at the corner position.
Sure. Yeah, and it's bummer for those guys, too. They're like, I'll make it up at my pro day. And it's like, not going to happen, bud.
The other thing is, if you're going to run fast, run at the combine. It's the most impressive place you can run fast.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
And I wonder if, like, and obviously you can't see this coming, but you could, like, pull a hamstring in training and not even get to run at your pro day, and that can really hurt your draft stock. So if you're going to run well, run at the combine first. You can run again later, and you can do other stuff, but compete, go out there and compete. And so who was it? T. Higgins, like, I'm going to rest. I'm not going to run. It's like, yeah,
oops,
good job, dumbass.
Right.
Although he did get, like, he got his pro day in the day they shut everything down. So he did get his pro day workout in, and it wasn't that great, which is probably why he didn't run at the combine.
So close.
Let's see. Let's go to Diego. He says, thoughts on wide receiver at 13 and defensive back at 31. Do you like that?
Yes.
Done.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty simple. I mean, I also like offensive line in either one of those spots, too. But yeah.
He didn't say, do you like that? I said, do you like that? So I think Diego wants more thoughts then. Wide receiver at 13, DB at 31. Well, I just think
you're welcome, Diego.
So wide receiver, if one of those guys is there, you take him, I think. I think that's just the way this is working out for the 49ers.
Yeah.
But if not, then that changes things. Then you go corner. If there's a big drop-off, do you go offensive tackle? Because at 31, whether it's wide receiver, corner, defensive line, offensive line, you're in another tier at 31 than you will be at 13. So the key is which tier is better later, right? Or is it just your best player available at those positions?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's all about your board. You know, like, where do you have guys? You know, if you're sitting at 13, you know, and you've got, you know, one guy there that you're like, well, if I get this guy now, you know, I can get one of these other positions. You know, I'm nine deep there, you know, and it's only 16 picks away, or, you know, 18 picks away. You know, one of these guys will probably still be there. You know, it's probably going to have a lot to do with their decision making. I mean, we could sit here all day and talk about this is who the 49ers are going to draft, one of these positions. And then who knows what happens at the draft? Dude, it gets so crazy sometimes where people reach and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Daniel Jones, what?
It's going to happen. I think every year you think you have such a good read, and then there's groupthink on it. So people convince each other of things. So all of the media is kind of on the same page, but each individual team, and there's 32 different ideas out there with these teams and the way they're thinking is can be completely different. And then the 49ers, a couple of years ago, remember, they created a hole they didn't have. Nobody in the world thought, like, Mike McGlinchey, offensive tackle, you already got
him.
Trent Brown,
peace.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, actually, we're going to trade Trent Brown. I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. I wish I'd have known that information yesterday, right? That would have made a lot more sense. So there could be that. And there was a question yesterday about Jaquaski Tart. If it was a similar type of trade, he's going in the last year of his deal. Is there potential to trade Tart and draft a safety? And I immediately was like, yeah, no, you know, probably not a good idea. You want to bring the gang back and try to win. You got a good thing going. the difference here is that Tart's a better fit for the defense than Trent Brown was for Kyle Shanahan's offense, which is why that trade happened in the first place. You don't want to create a hole.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you also can't say that that can't happen.
No, especially if you could bring some picks back, too, in a draft where you are not pick heavy.
Bring some picks back and maybe draft a guy if the draft works. But, you know, creating a hole, then you have to draft a guy. So
sure.
Interesting. And it's going to be the real draft is going to be crazier than any mock you've seen. And people freak out. They're like, no way this happens. Every time that is uttered about a mock draft or about draft ideas, you have to be like, are you crazy? Have you never watched the draft before? You can never say no way about anything. Like, it's going to be nuts. Your mind will be blown. The real draft, crazier than any mock you're going to read leading up to it.
Yeah, it's just like when you're making a, you know, an NCAA bracket pick or something, you know, where it's like, no one's going to get it right. And no one's going to get everybody right, even in the first round. Like, there's going to be no mocks out there where it goes perfect because, yeah, there's going to be that one team that's just like, nope, this is our guy. We don't care if we're overreaching for him.
Oh, the best. Well, and there's two different ideas with mock drafts. One is like what I would have done, and then one is like you're predicting what they will do. And as far as predictive mock drafts, if you get 6 out of 32 picks in the first round correct, like you're doing really good, like really good. And if you look at every mock draft right now, you have almost the identical top, half the first round is pretty much the same guys. And so
it's just not going to go like that at all.
It doesn't.
Well, it just takes one team trading up too to kind of throw everything off.
Right. Domino effect. Is the trade up happen for a quarterback? Does a quarterback fall? Does the league not really like one of these quarterbacks? And then they're there later. Then a trade happens then instead. And it's a big domino.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I can't wait, man. I'm so excited.
That's what makes it so fun.
That's the next thing, you know, in sports.
And an added wrinkle with the situation we're in right now is our team's going to say, you know what? I don't feel comfortable with this. I want some next year's picks, so I'll trade out of here. Maybe teams will be more willing to trade, maybe less willing to trade. Maybe the pool of players that they like is smaller than it would have been because they would have traveled out and met with some smaller school guys and seen some pro days and been impressed with some people that they're not going to really be on their radar to draft now. So a lot of interesting wrinkles to this, and it changes things quite a bit.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That's a good call.
Are teams going to completely overreact, or maybe not enough teams will react enough? Like, say, if you draft a quarterback, there's no OTAs. Like, you can't even get your quarterback ready in time for training camp to start the season and be prepared. You know, so that's
Have they eliminated OTAs, or are they just postponed at this point?
Well, they would already be getting ready to do it before the draft in April. So the rookie mini camp after the draft, that won't happen. The OTAs right before the draft won't happen, at least. And we might have no OTAs or mini camps before training camp if things don't really get kicking until July.
That's wild. Can you imagine what like July and August are going to be like if sports ramp back up like in June? Like how many sports are going to be going at one time?
Yeah, all of a sudden NBA playoffs and then opening day in July. The second half of the season is the only part of the season.
Small season too.
Yeah, amazing. Wow. It'd be crazy.
Right.
It'd be kind of fun.
It'd be like too much to handle.
It'd be fun. It's definitely something that we'll tell our kids about and be like, yeah, you don't remember how weird this was, but it was strange. Let's see. Eli says, in terms of needs, how would you rank wide receiver, offensive tackle, interior offensive line, interior defensive line, and cornerback? So we kind of talked about those positions as being the main needs, but Eli wants to know what order we would put them in. What do you think, Nick?
Oh, that's tough, man. That's a good one.
I will say this. I think the 49ers have some pretty good coverage, and they were already deep on the defensive line. That obviously you trade your best player on the defensive line or one of your two best players on the defensive line. That's tough, but I don't think the Buckner hole is as big of a hole as maybe some people on the outside might think.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I would absolutely draft the right defensive tackle if the right guy is there at the right spot and the value is there. But I think you can try to replace Defoe's production with like two different people, a base down defensive tackle and a passing down, you know, rusher that moves inside. And there's quite a few of those guys still on the 49ers that can move around and rush from the interior, and a healthy DJ Jones will help. So,
and if you got two guys instead of one, you got that whole like, are they fresher? You know, do they stay explosive the whole game? Cause they're not playing, you know, nearly every snap.
Right. And on the opposite end of that, the 49ers have painted themselves into a corner at wide receiver where while there's bodies, you feel less comfortable about most of those names, unlike the defensive line. So I don't know what to think about wide receiver. And the fact that Sanders is gone, do they have to take a wide receiver if he's there at 13? I almost feel like that's the way I would approach this thing right now.
Yeah, we say that, but then, you know, from a 49ers point, it's like, do they think they already have those guys and they're coming back in you know, Trent Taylor and Jalen Hurd? Like, do they feel like, oh no, these guys are good. These guys are solid. You know, maybe they know their recovery process than we do. You know, we don't see any of that stuff going on, but they're, you know, they're with these guys all the time. So maybe they feel like, no, we already got two more receivers coming back, not to mention Goodwin. You know, he'll be coming back fresh, and maybe they feel like they've got that covered, and they do go cornerback or they go offensive line there at 13, and maybe they don't draft a wide receiver till later in the draft. Like, it's going to be so wild. And obviously you and I feel they do need to address that, especially if one of those top three guys are still around at 13, because those are playmakers. Those are guys that defenses are going to have to account for. And you put them next to Deebo Samuel, and all of a sudden it's like, ooh, this looks good. But maybe the 49ers don't feel the same way.
They can't like what they have at wide receiver because they just traded for a guy midseason because they didn't like the same group that they're bringing back right now.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, even if you think, oh, maybe they do like these guys more and maybe they feel like they're okay with it, it's like, well, they weren't last year. Why all of a sudden would they be cool with the same bringing back the same exact group plus Travis Benjamin? And they're like, okay, now we're good. Last year we weren't good, but this time we're actually going to be good. I just – the five surgeries on – Taylor's yeah. foot, and even if he's 100% healthy, how do you think he's not going to get hurt again? You know, it just, unfortunately, that's the way his career is gone and heard. There's so much question there. You don't know what you have anyway, let alone how his back is going to react to things. And there's even whispers that he might be done potentially. Yeah. So it's so hard.
Wait,
the need was so bad with basically the same group that they had to trade for a guy last year. Midseason, how could they go into this season thinking now they're good? And even though this is a deep wide receiver class, they don't need depth. They need a starter.
Right. I saw a tweet earlier this week. I don't remember who it was from. I apologize. But it said something along the lines of, like, you know, when the 49ers, you know, drafted Deebo Samuel, you know, they weren't looking for that. They wanted somebody that would complement their real number one receiver, who's George Kittle. Like, they are looking for scheme guys. And maybe they don't like any of the top guys because they don't fit the scheme that they run, you know?
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm just throwing, I mean, yeah. Obviously I want one of those guys. Like, if it's up to me, you know, we're
actually, and I think all three of those guys fit the scheme great too, which is, yeah. I think adds to things. And I think they're all in different ways, Shanahan types.
So if you had to put odds right now on the 49ers drafting a wide receiver at 13, what would it be? Like 75%, 80%?
I don't know how the board is going to fall, so that makes it more difficult.
Of course not.
If I thought one of those three was going to be there.
But if one of those guys is there.
Oh, like 90%.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah,
nice.
I think if one of those three guys is there, that's the pick. That's just the way I feel about it. And I haven't really been in lockstep with the 49ers draft forever.
That's true.
But so, like, you know, with Bosa last year, it was like, yeah, let's not screw around. It's Bosa. And a lot of people didn't want to believe that, but that was the only way to go. And so that's just the way I feel about it right now. But if those three guys aren't there, I don't know if you can guarantee 31, because once you get into the second tier of guys, then maybe that's a trade down, and then maybe second or third round can make just as much sense as 31. But I think with those three guys, if one of them is there, that's the pick.
Makes sense.
Let's find out what else is in the mailbag. Team says, it's T-E-E-M. That's why I say it like that. I believe his name is Tim on Twitter, but
I like
he's
team.
Which positions have the deepest pool of talent in this draft? Wide receiver,
that's
offensive
you,
line,
buddy.
Or cornerback? So basically he's asking about the same position groups. Who has the deepest? The deepest is wide receiver, mm-hmm. which is why it's frustrating. So, like, if the 49ers had signed Emmanuel Sanders, now they could still draft one at 13, or they could wait and try to find some nice value around, you know, trade down, round two, round three, round four even, and get lucky and find a really nice value there, because there's going to be some good players there. They're just not... the no doubt, let's start them day one and they're going to be monsters. But there will be good players in this draft that are drafted that late, but you have to hit on them. And as we've seen with the 2014 class, the 49ers, there was a bunch of great ones. They drafted one and they didn't hit it. It wasn't one of those, you know. We saw them trade up for receivers in the second round a couple years ago in Dante Pettis, and you thought maybe he was the guy. And it turns out last year, maybe he's not the guy. And
as we covered in last week's, going back to 2002, the 49ers have not had great success drafting wide receivers.
We did a 10-minute segment on the receivers that they've drafted 17 straight years, and they've missed a lot. Ooh. So that's what I would say is, like, even if they draft one at 13, maybe dip back in and draft one later if somebody falls in the fifth round, if they don't make any trades, right, or if they do trade third or fourth round, yeah, take another one. See what you got. Build yourself a nice core of wide receivers. But the problem is the 49ers have bodies. They have like 12 guys there. And so how many people are going to make the roster at the position? Six? So they're going to have to – it's just a bunch of question marks, which is frustrates me about it. I would trade every receiver on the roster except Debo for Emmanuel Sanders, just so you would know, and then draft three guys. You know, that's right, the way I look at it. Have your starter be set, and then be pleasantly surprised by what you add to the roster instead of having question marks. And it's like, I have no idea. I have no idea what to think about all the receivers on the roster right now. Except
I can't imagine how you could argue against that.
I agree. I agree, Nick. Thank you. Anyway,
you agree with yourself?
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Anyway, what was the rest of this question? I don't even remember what the question was. What's the deepest pool?
The
deepest pool is wide receiver. Corner's pretty deep. You can find a starter in the second round. I think there's more question with the cornerback group because a lot of them didn't run 40s. And so how fast is Trayvon Diggs from Alabama? How fast is Bryce Hall from Virginia? I like those players, but they're going to fall a little bit. Who's got the speed? 49ers have drafted speed at defensive back, whether it's safety or corner for the most part. They've liked athletes there. So I think that'll make them uncomfortable a little bit with some of those corners. But there are some good players at that position. Then offensive tackles, kind of top heavy. There's some really good ones early. There's a couple of guys that you think you could develop into a starter in the day two range, but it's not nearly as deep of a class as wide receiver or corner. That's why I was saying, if you did have your starter set and you felt really good about it at wide receiver, go dip into that later. Use that value and then go offensive tackle, which is more of a top heavy position in round one. Fix your offensive line there, be set, and then get the value later. But I don't know if the 49ers are in that position right now.
Yeah, no, that's it. I wish they were, but no, they're definitely not.
Let's see. Dr. Frankenstein has a good question about sleepers. Dr. Frankenstein, I see your sleepers fifth round pass rusher question. I'll hit that at a later date. I'm going to bookmark that one. Let's see, JB.
Real quick, I want to give a little shout out.
Sure.
You know, last week I mentioned, you know, hey, like jokingly, hey, yeah, donate, you know, to the restaurant, blah, blah, blah. And actually a couple people hit me up on Twitter and bought some gift certificates, which was awesome. Ian and Madeira and Joe all the way out in Syracuse, New York. And he just wanted me to donate it to a local teacher. Like,
that's guys, amazing.
That's so awesome. Like, oh, yes. Thank you so much.
That is really cool. It was Ian and Joe were the names?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you very much, guys. That was really cool.
Yeah, and no doubt. And I'm not trying to make everybody else feel bad that didn't do it, but you really should feel bad.
There's thousands of you out there that did not donate. That's what I took away from this. JB wants to know, everyone assumes we're trading out of 31, but is there an argument to stay put and prioritize quality over quantity given our strong roster that just got to the Super Bowl, quality wide receiver and defensive tackle, and we can more or less run it back? Can we wait a year for corner and offensive tackle? And
it's I don't think we can wait a year for corner, right? We addressed that last week too.
You can wait a year if you get that corner next year that you need, because they're cool right now, right? Like, you know who your starters are going to be and you're fine.
Sure. But then the season ends and you're like, oh, wait, we've got nobody.
And then it's going to be such a massive need. You want to get lucky, try to develop a guy now if you can. But I think there's something to it. And this was part of the Twitter mock that I did. Overwhelmingly, people wanted to trade down, and I don't know if it was the smartest move, because I don't know if what was there 10 picks later plus an extra third was a benefit over the better player that you could have gotten at 31. So it has to be the right offer, and you have to feel like you're going to get a pretty good approximation in second round of what you would have gotten at 31. And so I agree with JB that you don't just trade for the sake of trading. They have 7 picks. The 49ers right now, with adding the 13th overall pick, they have more draft capital when you consider where they're at than they would have had if they just were picking 31 in all 7 rounds.
Right.
So it's not like they're lower on draft capital than they would have been if they had all of their original picks this year. So they're fine on draft capital. There's a big gap, obviously, between 31 and 156. Ideally, you would add a pick there. Maybe they can add a pick by trading a player away that they currently have. So that's another option of getting, you know, Marquise Goodwin. Kyle Shanahan said they're going to try to trade Marquise Goodwin. And I still can't believe he said that publicly, but he said that. So he said, we don't want to cut him. Maybe we'll trade him. I think it's hilarious it's like, that he said that. A little too,
everybody's just going to wait for you to cut him then.
Yeah, the PR guy probably just like looked at him afterwards and was like, do you hear yourself right now?
He did that emoji with the hand over your face.
Yeah, exactly. Too honest, which is a good thing, I think, for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Sometimes they're a little bit too honest.
Right. They're still getting used to this thing.
Matt Breida potentially could be someone that a team wants to trade for. Sure. The 49ers could package a couple of fifths or, you know, package a fifth and sixth, try to get up and sneak into round four there and draft a guy potentially. So there are some options. You don't just trade for the sake of trading. If the really good player there is there at 31, draft him and let's go. And that you're not guaranteed to get offers. So you have to be prepared to draft in your spot that you're at in every pick anyway.
Right.
Let's finish this up. I think we're pretty much out of time. Let me check the clock. Oh, yeah, we got to go. We can't even take any more.
It's been fun.
Yeah. It goes fast, man. I have such a good time chatting ball with you, Nick.
I love your draft knowledge, man. I'm all about it. You know me, I don't watch college football. So when I come on this show, I'm always like taking notes. Like, who does Brian like? Who do we like? This is more for 49ers and then for fantasy football, too.
Oh, yeah. You definitely steal my fantasy football picks. That's okay, though.
Dude. Oh, 100%. I'm like, Brian really likes this guy, and I draft before him. I'm gonna get him.
See, you must not have been paying close enough attention a couple years ago when you guys in our fantasy football league let me draft both Kareem Hunt and...
Right.
Who else did I draft?
Kamara.
Oh, Kamara. I got Hunt and Kamara same year.
Yeah.
Come on.
I think I got Cooper that year, or was that the year before?
I
got him pretty late.
I'm trying to think. Let me think of who was on the roster of the team.
Yeah, you had a tough decision to make after that. Who do you keep?
Yeah, that was tough. Kareem Hunt made that decision easy for me, though, I think, before our draft.
Someone in our league this year is going to get to keep Lamar Jackson for like a 12th round pick or something.
No, no. Ryan Covey drafted him and cut him. So
that was Mahomes.
That was Mahomes. You're right. That was Mahomes the year before. Yeah, he drafted him in the 15th round. Beautiful pick. And then cut him, so he's not eligible anymore.
He cut him right before the season started. He kept Jimmy G as his backup. Never let him forget that.
That's rough. It happens.
It does. Even
sometimes when you're right, you're still wrong, man.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, Nick, as always.
My pleasure, buddy.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to everybody getting involved at the mailbag. Apologies if I didn't get to your question. I'll hit some more as the week and weeks go on, getting toward the NFL draft right here, Locked On 49ers.
See you.